This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Nicaragua, under the boot of a dictatorship led by a man who's skilled at avoiding scrutiny from outside. However, Mary Anastasia O'Grady of the Wall Street Journal brings our attention to the persecution across the civil canvas in Nicaragua, the brutality, the sadism, but especially the puzzle about the persecution of Roman Catholic priests and do-gooders in Nicaragua and what appears to be a non-response from the Vatican. Mary, a very good evening to you. This is a puzzle. You've written carefully about the persecution of Roman Catholics in Cuba, and you mentioned in your column for the Wall Street Journal editorial page that there is persecution of clerics and other sympathetic Catholics in China and Venezuela. However, in Nicaragua, it is fresh to me that the Pope is not, or the apparatus in Vatican is not responding to this brutality. Is there a single reason for this? Is this a building contest over many years, or is it most recent? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. You know, the idea of Marxist dictators persecuting the Catholic Church is not new. I mean, it happened in Poland during Soviet times. It happened more recently in Venezuela. And as we know, it's happening as we speak in China. Cardinal Zen has been greatly persecuted. And it's happening in Nicaragua. And the church, has a history or a practice of standing up for its priests. But in these more recent cases that I'm talking about, it's been sort of very timid and almost, mysteriously shy about standing up for the priests. On the other hand, the priests and the bishops in Nicaragua have been extremely brave. They've been, going out and speaking from the pulpit against the repression in the streets. In 2018, there was a great slaughter of something like 300 people over 3 months because of protests. And the church has been speaking up for them, but it's taking it on the chin from the dictatorship, including the imprisonment and the exiling of clergy.
What is the chart you feature in your column? Three Catholic priests, two seminarians and a deacon and a photojournalist jailed in Managua. What is the charge against them? Their faith, their conduct? What?
Yeah, well, they were with the bishop of Matagalpa, which is a smaller town and not the capital. The capital is Managua, at his home in August. And he had been speaking out against the repression. And so when the police descended on the house, they arrested everybody in the house. Now, they put the bishop in house arrest. So he's no longer in Matagalpa. He's been moved to Managua, but he's in a house somewhere in Managua. But these other people who were accompanying him at the time, they were put into El Chapote prison, which is a very ugly prison. It's not a good place to be. You don't want to be there.
And the persecution is not driven by Marxism. Unless I mistake, Daniel Ortega is not much of a Marxist. He's a recognizable tyrant. So is it ideology for him to persecute the church? That at least the communists had the excuse that they were godless men and therefore God was a fright to them.
Well, he got into power, don't forget, as a Marxist in the 1980s. But once he was in, he began taking all the property, he and the leadership. And there was a famous event in Nicaragua in the 80s called the Piñata, where the leaders of the Sandinista army all took the nicest properties and made them their own. So this is a practice of his going back to then. Of course, he was defeated in an election in 1990. But he came back in 2006 with similar speech about wanting to help the poor. And he had a lot of Venezuelan largesse. So he spread that around. And frankly, many people on the right, business people, political elites, they made compromises with him. He had a lot of money. And then when the money dried up, he said, well, I don't want to leave power. And that's when he started using these more repressive techniques.
He has a vice president who is also a wife, Murillo, and she's understood as part of the regime's brutality. Is she also demonstrating anti-Catholicism, anti-religion, this irreverence towards priests?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're a team. And, you know, I wouldn't say it's so anti-Catholic as it is. I mean, if he were to find a Catholic priest who supported him, he would be totally in favor of that. What he opposes is the fact that they're speaking up for people who are being shot in the streets and so forth. And, you know, basically saying that this repression has to end. And that's what, you know, he wants to silence.
So let's move over to the Vatican side. Pope Francis and the non-comments. Pope Francis is a South American. Spanish is his language. So this is doubly, triply puzzling why he wouldn't enter into this contest. There is no debate about Nicaragua being a democracy or anything but a malignant actor. So is there a record of the Pope not commenting when you're faced with wickedness?
As I said in my column, I mean, Nicaraguans are bewildered by it. And I would also add that the Pope has been very generous with dictators. I mean, he hosted Raul Castro in the Vatican. He also went to Cuba, met with the Castros and with the regime, and refused to meet with the opposition. So there's a pattern here that's making people very uncomfortable. Because, you know, it'd be one thing if he says, I stay out of politics entirely, although I wouldn't buy that because as the Conference on Catholic Bishops has said, I mean, there is a crossover between politics and morality. And the church has a certain obligation on the moral side to speak truth to power when, you know, its own flock is being so bitterly repressed. And, so it's very mysterious and I think very disappointing for a lot of Nicaraguan Catholics.
Is there a trend through Central America to be brutal towards Catholic priests when they're dissidents? I don't know. I don't remember any large stories until I read yours of a particular picking out. I know about Havana. I certainly do know about China, but I'm unaware that other states in Central America persecute the Catholic officials.
Well, let's go to South America, because in Central America, I can't name one off the top of my head. But in Venezuela, Hugo Chavez was very much opposed. And he has these sort of paramilitary gangs that would, you know, go into the churches, start making disturbances during mass. He would name the different cardinals as enemies. Yeah, it was a pretty aggressive move against the church for exactly the same reasons as you're seeing in Nicaragua and you've seen in Cuba and you see in China.
So the example of Cuba is a good one then. So what we're seeing is the Cuban playbook in Nicaragua.
Oh, sure. Yeah. By all means. I mean, the whole idea that they have a moral message that is more powerful than that of the regime is frankly disturbing and scary to the dictator. And so his solution is to silence them.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady is the America's columnist and editor for the Wall Street Journal editorial board, writing about a state, Nicaragua, which is identified by the United States in particular as completely unacceptable, a tyranny where there is no negotiation about bringing Nicaragua in from the cold until Ortega and his a co-conspirator, Murillo, are gone, but the persecution of the Roman Catholic Church and the puzzle as to why Vatican is not commenting. It's easy enough to just say it out loud. I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.